Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie and find out more.
Now in the US, the Proud Boys former leader Enrique Tarrio has been jailed for 22 years for orchestrating the attack in the US Capitol on the 6th of January. It is the longest sentence handed down so far over the attack, which happened as lawmakers were certifying President Joe Biden's 2020 election victory. Malachy Brown is a senior story producer on the New York Times Visual Investigations team. They've conducted an investigation of court documents and text messages and hundreds of videos which show how the Proud Boys coordinated to instigate multiple breaches of the Capitol on the 6th of January. And Malachy Brown, I'm delighted to say, joins me now on the line. You're very welcome, Malachy, to the programme.
Hi, Cormac.
People have heard about the Proud Boys ever since the presidential debate and around that campaign. But now they've taken, I think, an even greater interest on foot of this sentence handed down, 22 years. Who are they? You might start off with that one. Who are the Proud Boys?
Yeah, the Proud Boys, they are self-described as, you know, male chauvinists, largely white, a far-right group. And they were set up as a sort of a men's club by a former founder of the news organization Vice, Gavin McGuinness. And, you know, they were anti-political correctness. They were kind of anti-white guilt, as they described it. And they became more radical over the years and really kind of threw their weight behind Trump in 2017. And then began to turn up at Black Lives Matter protests and get rowdy and violent at those. And then they attracted, you know, in this sort of, you know, the climate at the time, white nationalists, neo-Nazis into their ranks as well. And so they became quite political, quite violent, and quite political, particularly in the run-up to January 6th.
Okay, so that's the background as to who they are. We're going to create a little information tapestry for our listeners here about the Proud Boys and build on that, Malachy. Let's take a clip here now. This is Joe Biggs talking about the Proud Boys' strategy for the Capitol riots, which nearly toppled American democracy, which is incredible in what they were trying to achieve. Three men in the case, Biggs, Zachary Rail, and Dominic Pezzola, were each sentenced last week to between 10 and 17 years in prison. Have a listen.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Joe Biggs, and guess what?
You're seeing a Proud Boys leader announcing plans for January 6th.
This time, and you know who it is when I say we, but this time we're not going to be wearing the colors that you're used to seeing us in. Nope. This time, myself and other leadership have decided we're going to go incognito. We're going to be blending in, weaving in and out like a lady with some goddamn pins in her hand making a goddamn sweater. You ain't gonna know who the f*** is standing beside you. It could be Antifa. It could be me.
Joe Biggs is one of five Proud Boys now charged with sedition for their roles on January 6th.
Now, that's very instructive because the modus operandi in the Capitol was to infiltrate and to confuse the authorities, Malachy. That was the basis of your investigation.
That's right. Yeah. You know, in the months afterwards, we did another investigation kind of showing the scale of the violence and what happened. And we identified eight breaches there. But as you heard, the Proud Boys deliberately tried to meld in with the crowd there. And so it wasn't immediately apparent what their role was. But then we went back and took a second look at it. And in that initial investigation, we identified eight breaches of the security perimeter and the building itself. And what we found was that the Proud Boys turned up at every one of those breaches and really instigated the violence that led to it. And although, you know, there were thousands of people around the Capitol and the Proud Boy group was, you know, maybe 100, maybe a little bit more than that strong, they worked in teams and they had this playbook that they repeated time and again at each of these places.
Which is very important because in real time, live, we all thought this is ad hoc, this is chaos. But you uncovered that it was, and the authorities, that it was a complex and a very detailed plan from the Proud Boys.
That's right. And it began, you know, in December, a month beforehand. You know, as it's amazing this call and response between Trump and the Proud Boys, because, you know, he invoked them in that presidential debate, as you said, and the leader, where he said, stand back and stand by. And the leader immediately posted on Parler, we're standing by, Mr. President. And then a month later, when Trump is advertising January 6th, he says it will be wild. The leadership of the Proud Boys get together and start forming what they call the Ministry of Self-Defense, which is a group to organize for the day. And they handpick members of the group from around the country who they can rely on to sow chaos. And they have telegram groups and they're communicating, and they even have an org chart before the day itself.
It's frightening to think that they did have a network like that from which to pick around the country, which brings us neatly, Malachy, then to the former leader, Enrique Tarrio. He got the most severe sentence. He was jailed for 22 years for orchestrating the attack in the US Capitol on the 6th of January. Let's have a listen to a clip of him.
Repeat after me. I am a Western chauvinist.
This is Enrique Tarrio, leader of the Proud Boys.
I refuse to apologize for creating the modern world.
The group is notorious for street brawling and facing off against far-left activists known as Antifa.
What can you tell me, Malachy, about Tarrio?
Tarrio, he is a son of Cuban immigrants. He's from Florida. He's a very charismatic figure of the sort of far right in America, and he became the leader of the Proud Boys in 2018. And, you know, he wasn't there on the day, which is really interesting. He had been, not allowed to enter Washington, D.C. for burning a Black Lives Matter flag at a black church. But he was there in the eve beforehand and really riling them up. And he was the person who was seen by the authorities as orchestrating all of this and the head of the group. And his sort of commanders led the boots on the ground on the day, the rally boys, as they call them, as they storm the Capitol.
And Judge Timothy Kelly, when he sentenced him to 22 years, he said he was the ultimate leader of that conspiracy and had been motivated by revolutionary zeal. And I'm sure Tarrio looked at Donald Trump as his leader. And the Proud Boys were emboldened before the Capitol riot by tacit support, as Manny said, by President Trump. Let's have a listen.
When President Trump refused to disavow them in a televised debate.
Would you like me to condemn
Proud Boys? Ooh. And right
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Stop the steal!
Tarrio responded by posting, standing by, sir.
Stop the steal! Stop the steal!
Validated by a sitting president, they became more political than ever.
If you think Biden's going to win, and if he somehow does win, there's going to be hell to pay, because Biden doesn't have these kind of people showing up. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy is the epitome of leadership.
Now, when we're listening to bits from your investigation, Malachy, for the New York Times, and you listen to Donald Trump in that campaign's standby, it's chilling, isn't it?
It is. He really enabled groups like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. I mean, they saw themselves as patriots fighting for their leader, and they did, you know, appear to have this revolutionary zeal. And you could hear it not only in those groups, but also in the everyday Trump supporters who turned up that day. In the other investigation, Day of Rage, it's called, it's on YouTube if anybody wants to see it. You can really hear the messaging of Trump and his allies in the months after the election, saying that it was a fraud. And you hear that as the justification, motivation of many of the people who turned up to the Capitol on Jan 6.
What about the other members of the Proud Boys who are charged with such conspiracy or such acts on the 6th of January? Are the sentences they'll get, if they're convicted, likely to be as long as 22 years?
Unlikely, I'd say, to be as long as Tarrio. He's the longest by far. Another one of them, Ethan Nordine, got 18 years, and Stuart Rhodes, who's the head of the Oath Keepers, he got 18 years as well. But you had last week five Proud Boys leaders collectively getting 82 years, which is huge. I didn't think they would get that much. The other Proud Boys have also been charged, like there's 1,100 cases against people who were involved in January 6th, but most of them are much lower sentences.
So does that mean the group is gone? The Proud Boys are gone?
Well, the leadership is certainly gone, but the group has kind of morphed a bit in the last couple of years, and they're back into sort of more local activism. So if there are debates around mask wearing or a school curriculum around teaching people about racism in America, or even, you know, pride parades, LGBTQ parades, they turn up at these and they still sort of see themselves as the sort of foot soldiers of the right, if you like.
Well, I must say your work has made it very visual and very easy for people to understand what went on. Malachy Brown, co-founder of Visual Investigations at the New York Times, where you're enterprise director. Thank you very much indeed for joining us in the program.